Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Yeah, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here and I'm looking forward to tonight's conversation.
I am too. I am really looking forward into getting into this interesting topic. It's very relevant. It is it's going to be a very interesting mix of the 21st century and spirituality, I think. But I also want to just say thank you to the people that take the time to join us live. We always appreciate your contributions, and we appreciate the back and forth. I love catching up with you every week. But we also want to give a shout out to those that take the time to catch up with us from our archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to tonight's broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs you can find at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. 1 planet, 1 race, 1 ancestry, 1 destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, excuse me, I was trying not to cough so badly. I appreciate you bearing with me. Tonight we're going to be talking about CERN, the Large Hadron Collider. And, you know, this is, it's exciting. It's been very much, it's been in the, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media and stuff about it. I haven't really seen much in the news about it, but Dr. Vicki, I know you've been sourcing a lot of stuff on this.
Well, it's multi-layered, but I guess we have to first discuss what is CERN. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what is it that everybody's talking about? So I'd like to first go over that to say CERN is a lab. It was established back in, some say 52, but 1954. It's in Geneva, and a whole bunch of countries got together. Mm-hmm. Now, what CERN stands for is all in French, but basically it translates to
European Council for Nuclear Research.
Thank you, Michael.
But of course.
Yes, it does. And so what they basically wanted to do is, its main function was to provide particle accelerators and other infrastructure needed for high energy physics research and, you know, a bunch of experiments and stuff. So it's a big collaboration. And, you know, eventually, we're going to talk about this in a minute, it became the site of the Large Hadron Collider, which is the world's largest and highest energy particle collider. And we're going to talk about that, like I say, in a second. But mm-hmm. just to, you know, to back up that CERN is responsible for the World Wide Web. A lot of it has to do with technology as well. And it hosts the largest computer facility, mostly to store and analyze data from experiments mm-hmm. and simulate events. And, of course, researchers require remote access. And so, you know, it's kind of this hub, if you want to say. So, you know, understanding that it's been around a long time, and it's basically a physics lab. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not only for the World Wide Web, but it's responsible for a whole lot of other stuff until we get to this, the Large Hadron Collider. So I am actually going to read from the CERN site for a minute, you know, giving full credit to it, about the collider. And it's a particle accelerator that pushes protons or ions to near the speed of light. It first opened up or started up in 2008. And it remains the latest addition to CERN's accelerator complex. Now, I'm going to paraphrase here because, you know, the talk is that they wanted to also create a black hole to see how the universe was created. And so they use thousands of magnets in different varieties and sizes, you know, and used to drag beams around the accelerator. And again, I'm reading here. These include 1,232 dipole magnets, 15 meters in length, which bends the beams, and 392 quadrupole magnets, each 5 to 7 meters long, which focus the beams. So just prior to the collision, another type of magnets used to squeeze the particles closer together to increase the chances of collisions. The particles are so tiny that the task of making them collide is akin to firing like two needles, like 10 kilometers apart. Mm. So
it's the repetition of the particles going around so fast that makes it, I mean, because they're going in so many times per, you know, second.
Yeah.
It's you know, I am happy that you brought this up because, you know, CERN has always been on my periphery, but reading into it a little bit, any of our listeners that have watched, like, The Flash on TV or know DC Comics, it's like Star Labs. It's like this futuristic kind of, you know, development research lab. Of course, in the show, it has sometimes ominous underpinnings. Which, does that echo in real life? I don't know. But I will say it was interesting, you know, seeing how they provided some of the infrastructure for, like, the World Wide Web. I hadn't known about that until, you know, I had kind of looked into what CERN was for today. And kind of building up to this. But, yeah, I mean, it is definitely on the cutting edge. And it is interesting because there's so much we don't know when it comes to the quantum world, right? And this is really what we're talking about, like, you know, black holes, like creating, like, Big Bang-like conditions, like trying to test physics and discover different particles and, you know, string theory, all these things that I don't think that I would ever understand. I'm more of a humanities smart guy than, like, a science smart guy. Like, I can do it, but I'm more drawn to some of the other stuff. But that being said, it is very interesting.
I just want to say the reason it's come up so much is because CERN just shut down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's it just shut down for the next 4 years. And I've seen other bits of news clips where, you know, there's different countries, different people all over the world, including, I think it's Washington State, where they're building more magnets.
Hmm. Well, so you mean CERN more plans particle accelerators?
They plan to expand.
Well, I mean, they've already had a ton of particle accelerators globally.
Oh, jeez, I know. But now they're expanding. They're changing, you know, the whole collider, Hadron Collider. And so they say it's in development. But where it gets really fascinating to me, so, like, that's the physics side of it. But we're going to go down the rabbit hole just a little bit. Because in, the Hadron, you know, kind of started around 2008, 2009. And that's exactly when Fiona Broom noticed that people were talking about the Mandela effect in 2009. So there's a correlation there that, you know, again, conspiracy theorists and folks can't seem to get away from, because it's, you know, as they're building up, and this is my theory when I kind of look at this, I think there's a few years of building up to this, the collider, Hadron Collider, and then when it went into full bore in 2009, Fiona Broome, well, she coined the phrase the Mandela effect because one of the first memories is when Nelson Mandela died. And some say in prison, of course, no, he went on to be president of South Africa. And that's kind of where, you know, so the question is, does this particle accelerator create parallel universes? And where was there some kind of merging of these universes, you know, of how they, you know, because, and I mean, that's not new to metaphysicians. You know, we have live in multiple dimensions of space time. And so could these kind of collapse together, two or more? And that's where people's memory is all different. And, you know, some things might seem really insignificant, like Nelson Mandela's death, you know, and I'm just scroll through a few things, GIF or Jiffy, you know, the Looney Tunes, T-O-O-N, or Looney Tunes, U, the Berenstain Bears, you know, George's Tale, Sex in the City, or In the City, Febreze, Two E's or One, Oscar Mayer, EY or AY, you know, Skechers, did it have a T in it? Fruit Loops. I mean, there are so many that, you know, including the Monopoly guy, does he have a monocle? What's recently happened, Michael, since CERN shut down, is people are now talking about new things. And, you know, without going into a list of those, Joel Osteen is this absolute evangelist, minister, wealthy guy, radical right wing as well. But now they're saying his name never was Olsten. It's Osteen. So now there's more people on the net and reels and stuff saying, wait a minute. Last week it was this and now it's this. That's not what I remember. So there's a kind of a fresher kind of look that people are paying attention to little tiny things, like whether it's biblical quotes, and then it goes back to the way it was, Lord's Prayer, how that changed, you know. I mean, the list is really long. So is there something to it? So that's I think, you know, I was listening to a scientist who said everything is frequency. So, you know, we have, each of us has a frequency, our bodies, but Earth has a frequency, so many hertz, we vibrate to that. So whenever there's an incident, and as the scientist explained, even when you interact with somebody else, that frequency is going to change a little bit. You know, your frequency, you know, we can, well, we can talk about it many different ways, but it's, when you think about CERN, the frequency with all that they're doing with particle accelerations in that area, the vibration changes. So, and we can say that honestly about, you know, you put in a garbage dump, you put in an AI data center, you put in, you know, power poles, the vibration or frequency shifts and changes. But what happens? Is it possible? And this is just a curious, I'm not saying it's true. I find it curious myself that reality does seem to change. Now, some people can say I'm just old, but I have seen some very strange things in my lifetime. Things appear and disappear. What was there isn't there. And I wonder if it's colliding. Now, when you talk about 2008 and 2009, I don't think they just fire it up, and I don't think they just shut it down. I think there has to be a process. I think even shutting down CERN would take, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to gradually start shutting down because it's massive. And I think even when firing it up, you know, it's massive. And what I noticed, it's around the early 2000s, up especially into 2005, people's lives were changing. Like 180 degree turns, you know, things, like reality was shifting. I noticed it in readings. I noticed it with people's lives. I talked to other readers saying the same thing. So I wonder, you know, is there something to this? And again, I'm just theorizing, speculating, observing that it's possible. I'm thinking it's possible, Michael. He's quiet. Because he's muted a little bit.
Oh, hey, yeah, I was muted. It's possible. Like, you know, all things are possible. And it's possible that this is having an effect. It personally, me, you know, I've looked over some things and I've just done my reading. I don't. But then again, we're wading into waters where, you know, we have no idea, you know, like, what's that old line from people going into the unknown, you know, there'll be monsters here, to quote Pirates of the Caribbean, but you know, we're going into unexplored territory, and just like you, right now I got to go with my gut, and my gut tells me that that's not it, and I've always been a Debbie Downer when it comes to stuff like the Mandela effect and things too, because human beings tend to mass think, and I think that there's a lot of conflation when it comes to memory. You know, we conflate different things. You know, we conflate the Pringles can guy with the Monopoly guy with all these different things, et cetera. But then again, I have, not for any Mandela effect reasons, but I have felt like sometimes I'm living in a different reality. I don't have the Mandela effect because, honestly, I don't care enough. I don't remember. I was never into the Berenstain Bears. I was never, like, you know, I always saw sex. Like, to me, my earliest memories of these things was like seeing people point out like bootleg merch and things like, you know, I don't trust my memory enough because I don't trust human memory well enough. There's a reason that, you know, eyewitness testimony is being increasingly questioned, but here's other thing. You can show something in a study and there's a strange thing that I read about one time where results of studies in reality just seems to just shift from time to time. But I don't know, you know, I don't know why. And it's something that has happened, you know, when I was reading about it, they were talking about things that were true when they would do psychological, like the whole Stanford study in the 50s, right? People today would react wildly different. Of course, you're going to say, well, obviously culture changes and things change. But, you know, it's just, it's like even when they test things that are like, you know, that shouldn't change so much, like statistical things, the data always seems to be shifting ever so slightly. Everything is constantly shifting, even sometimes what you would, you know, I would say fall short of calling it a law of nature, a law of physics, but something that everything was pointing in this direction and now it's not, right? And we're always revising as a species, as a society. Science is one of the methods, I think the best one, where we look at what is in existence. But with human understanding, science will always fall short because human beings cannot comprehend the totality of existence, and we never will be able to. We can live billions and millions and millions of years, and we will never be able to understand the infinite nature of existence because it is enormous. I mean, we in this corporeal form can't contemplate in the trillions or billions. I mean, just to really think about what a billion means, you know?
Well, there are billionaires.
I know, but like, and the reason I think some people, you know, I don't think people even comprehend what that means, you know, like the sheer enormity of it. Let alone we're talking about billions of stars in our galaxy, of billions of galaxies in our local group of universe, and now a multiverse, the immensity. So I say this only to say, you know, I look it over and I'm open to it, but I got to go with my gut. And I'm not saying that I don't think things are happening. I'm just saying I don't think that this is big enough to do it. But well, I have been wrong so many times before, I can't even count.
Well, Audra is saying in the chat, thanks for this, Audra, I don't have much of the Mandela effect situation, but the disappearing things and reappearing and too many things happening at the exact same time. Like I say, something in the YouTube videos I'm watching say the same word at the same time. Sure, it can happen, but
right
now I have the same thing going on. It's going on a long time. A year ago, I bought a new pair of slippers. I took them on a little holiday I went on, you know, last October, brought them back. I wore them a couple of times, but you know, my old one, because I skip outside and whatever. Do you think I can find those slippers? Now listen up, Michael.
Yeah.
Because I prefer it. I live in a 650 square foot single wide trailer in a senior mobile park. Very well kept, I might add. I got a nice little place, just the way I like it. I have looked everywhere for those slippers. They are gone. And I have had things disappear, reappear. I'm thinking it's a spirit, but it reminds me of the time many years ago when I was living on a farm in Alberta, and there was an old guy across the way in his 80s. He talked about that was the first cattle mutilation in stuff and crop circles in Canada. And he had seen spaceships. His family had the little orbs. You know, he had stories. Very cool guy. One morning I heard what I thought was an explosion. So I drove over right away. And he was almost like frozen in time inside his porch, holding a phone that was burned. The sockets and stuff on the wall were burned. And I said, oh, my God. I didn't bring my phone. So I went home, called his son. They went and, you know, check in later. So I did later in the day go over there, and the family's there fixing the electrical. And he says, here, come here. I got to show you something. So whatever it was happened in his garage, skipped beats of electrical energy. Now, he also raised sheep, by the way. And the way all his circuitry was all put together, it had skipped over whatever this was, a couple of things, and only damaged minor, but things appeared throughout his yard. He said, and he'd pick up stuff, and he'd say, like a plastic cracked off of some kind of bumper. He said, I've never had this in my life. And he went to something else. I've never had anything like this. These things all just appeared in my yard. I said, I think we had an interdimensional collision. And he said, yep, something like that. Now, understand, this is a man in his 80s, totally open-minded, but here he is having these bizarre experiences, particularly on his property. And then he would slowly tell me more, because it's not something the old guys really talk about. It was on that same property that I was living on, a friend of mine, you know, took a little walk through the horse pastures, checking things out. And we'd been there in the morning, go back in the afternoon. I know I've told this story before, Michael. And right in the middle of the field is this bright red apple, totally unmarked, perfect apple. I looked at her. She's an Indigenous elder, by the way. I have to say that because I picked it up and I looked at her. This was not here earlier. She said, no, it was not. She said, it's the world's, meaning the dimensions. So I put it back down. Now, like I say, animals could have taken it away and eaten it. I didn't look again. But things have appeared and disappeared, much like you're talking about, Audra. And that was, I suspect, around 2010, 2011, somewhere in there. So after the time when this Hadron Collider started up. So more of those things, you know, were going on.
You know,
so I got my own stories. That's all I'm saying, Michael, that it's just weird.
I will also say the other thing I was thinking about. That's, you know, the thought first crossed my mind earlier when I was listening. This is also about the same time the internet's really picking up steam, and if we're talking about societal changes too. And I do think that the internet is the critical changer of our reality. I think that this almost mass consciousness that we're even more closely linked together globally, you can see how movements spread, but also you can see how it is such an insane thing right now where there are so many of us on this planet, but we all almost inhabit these different realities in this very same plane of existence. We all, you know, you're online, and something that I think is common knowledge, you know, I'll talk to several people in my, you know, work life or something, and they have no idea, you know, I'm listening to You know, historian talk about the Odyssey movie came out. He, you know, he had been unaware of all the, you know, of some of the controversy surrounding it. I'm like, how is that possible? But of course, these people aren't online. They're not reading the news. They're not checking into the things that we're reading about. So their perception of what is possible shapes the reality, just like it does mine. So, you know, and just like, you know, it does yours. But again, you know, we live our truths. I'll tell you, Audra put in chat something I love. She jokes about the interdimensional being reaching through the veil to mess with her. And I'll say that kind of, that's something that echoes a joke that my father and I always had, and he always kind of joked about with his dad in the sense that, well, at least later in life, in the sense of, you know, you can't find something, something's not the way you thought it was. You joke, well, I must have changed universes, right? That's been a long-standing joke. I will tell you that for much of my, you know, basically all my adult life, which would go back to 2004. Well, no, even before that, most of my entire life and teenage on, even late 90s, everything feels kind of wrong, you know, like this isn't how life should be.
Yeah, I know.
And, but then I don't know if that's because I'm in the wrong reality or if I look at the potential of humanity and why we don't, if we collectively chose a better existence, we could have it. You know, that is the stunning thing. And frankly, I don't know if in an alternate reality we would be finding anything, you know, better. Or, you know, then again, if we have every possibility, then there's every option. Which, again, what does that mean about free will? There's so many questions here. One thing I did want to touch on is, again, you got me into, you know, the whole CERN interest. You've been piquing my curiosity about this whole subject. And I got curious, so I kind of looked it up before we started what they're, you know, doing. I know that they were doing maintenance, but, you know, why does that take so long? They're doing this upgrade. And I think this is, you know, let me get back to the page where I had it. I think this is going to make you feel just a lot better. Oh, did I close it by accident?
Well, while you do that, I can add in here that, that CERN has also accelerated technologies in cancer therapy, medical imaging, science, you know, in other areas in engineering and math. So it's, you know, it's a really valuable tool, and we've done this, you know, since the World Wide Web. Yeah. This rapid leap forward, I mean, it's almost mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, it's utterly mind-boggling. The rate of change in technology over the last, you know, century especially, it's accelerating faster and faster.
Yeah.
But the industrial age, basically from, you know, the age of exploration, as it is called, which is also, you know, as with everything human-related, it had its ups and downs. There was the Columbian Exchange, which was both wonderful and horrible. But that being said, it is expanding at an exponential rate. You know, sciences interrelate to one another. And metaphysics, I truly believe that metaphysics is going to be a huge part of that as we gain a deeper understanding of quantum physics, of reality. We're going to begin looking into some of these, you know, into the deeper meaning of life. And so, you know, I was talking about the upgrade they're making. They're making a high luminosity Large Hadron Collider. And I was like, what does that mean? I look into it, just doing some searching and some just basic reading. Just a couple, you know, a few minutes just going over it. But it's actually going to, you know, by a factor of 10, increase the luminosity of the particles, meaning there's going to be far more particles going around to deliver 7 times the data from the collider as before. So it's going to be, you know, generating, and of course, you know, I will put a little background, it discovered the Higgs boson particles. So it's going to be generating 380 million Higgs bosons over its lifetime versus the current 55 million estimate at current capacity. So it's getting a massive upgrade, and, you know, they're hoping this is going to just increase our ability to understand physics. Again, I have no claim to expertise. I did not fight for any of the knowledge that's going into this, so I won't criticize it or support it. Well, obviously I'm supporting it a little, but I got to say, just everything in life seems to, like, the fabric of reality seems too tight and interwoven far beyond this small speck of a planet that I don't know that it could, you know, do that kind of thing. But then again, I have been wrong about so many things.
Yeah.
I'm going with my gut on this.
There was a scientist who recently died, and forgive me, I forget his name, but it's going around in the net, who made a bunch of predictions based on astrology. And one of the things he said was between July 17th and 23rd of this year, there would be this planetary alignment that, you know, we're going to see the world change, a huge energy shift on the planet. So people are putting that together also with CERN shutting down. So that's right. Why I'm bringing it up. So Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune are all stretching across the sky. And it's supposed to be like a major alignment to create a shift in consciousness. So, what is the shift in consciousness? You know, what is that? But the more of the massive consciousness, and that everything from socioeconomics to geopolitics, everything is about to change. Now, we are today at July 22nd. You know, a lot of stuff's been going on in the last few days. So it should start to calm down tomorrow, and we'll see where things go from there. But I'm just observing because, it's a fascinating subject. If, again, you go in a metaphysical approach, but still trying to grasp physics, as you're saying, Michael, because I'm not scientific at all, except that where we are today, it's like you almost have to in some way explore physics, explore science. I mean, AI, remember I sent you that link about one AI program just kind of went on its own to go and break into another AI program and did it by itself.
It was I saw the one you sent and I saw the headline. I think it's the same one I've been reading into too, about it was they were training AI models and they gave it an impossible task. And the task it had is they had to go up against the most advanced chess algorithm in the world that cannot be beaten. And the AIs that they were testing could not beat it. It was just they obviously didn't have the skill set to, and the programmers knew it. They were saying, what is it going to do? So it adapted by hacking the program of the chess AI to change the position of the pieces so that it could win. We're no longer in the LLM stage of AI. We're no longer in the large language model where it's just trying to it's basically doing a word prediction. We're now in, it is doing complex problem solving. And again, I was thinking about this before, and I'm thinking about our conversations on AI. And again, we're in a brave new world of exploration, and it will be both wonderful, and it will be terrifying at the same time. But
I'm with you.
It's, you know, it is a interesting time to be alive. And I hope that it will also be an interesting time to be alive for humanity 100 years from now. But I will say that one thing that we can point to, and I think we all can all agree on this, is that there's a known factor of chaos generation on this planet. Some people say that chaos and order are two sides of the same coin. I've said that a lot, actually. I believe it. But no, I think there is a force of utter chaos that none of us can truly predict. That's cats. We all know about cats. They're here to cause chaos and destruction. There is no counterbalance on the order side. But why am I not sure if something is, you know, if I'm changing reality or if I have a ghost? Because I have animals everywhere that are constantly doing things. And also, I'm absent-minded a lot. So who knows how many ghosts I've come into contact with and I just was too oblivious to notice. It's actually become a running joke. I'm very oblivious to a lot of things going on around me because I'm always in my own head thinking about this, that, or the other, so I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing. But, to our live listeners, you might have heard my cat, Luke, who's curling next to me, start meowing at me. Yeah, Vicky doesn't catch that good stuff because Teams filters it out. But I had to throw that shout out. Also, I'm, you know, loving the chat. I will tell you, I see some stuff, people longing for the age of the rabbit ears and, you know, more simplified media where we're not being bombarded. I know we're running into our card time here, but I empathize with that to a degree. Social media is both wonderful, but it's also just rotting our brains. You know, it's a great way to connect, and it's how we all know each other, and it's wonderful. But we have to figure out a way to do it more responsibly because it's just rotting all of our brains. The constant barrage of stimuli, of information, you know, are more things happening or are we just aware of everything? And also there's 8 billion of us. There's never been that many of us. So, you know, these are all the things that I wanted to throw out. So A, cats are evil and chaos generators. B, you know, I think that we're both scary, terrifying, but also fantastic and provocative. Yeah. Just fascinating times. And C, I really hope that we're all, including you, I know you don't like hearing it, alive 10 years from now when they're starting everything back up for a few years to see how things are looking. What is the world going to look like in 2036? So we're all going to, you know, mark your calendars. We're going to have a Wednesday special 10 years from now where we're going to talk about all the things that have happened in the past decade.
Oh, so, Michael, 10 years from now, you might be on your own. Sorry.
You don't have a choice in the matter. I don't even know why you're complaining. You don't have a choice.
But. Oh, you're funny. We're going to choose some cards, and I know we have Jeff in there first, but I really appreciate, you know, it is summertime, and I know fewer people are in the chat these days. I know folks catch up in the archives, but, you know, it's summertime, it's hot, people have things to do, places to go, and classes that go on Wednesdays. We've heard from a number of people to say, sorry, I can't be there, but we appreciate those who do join us, and and all of your chatter in the chat is really fun and interesting. So, thanks for that. What have you got for Dr. Jeff? Blind outdoorsman shout out.
You got to give him a shout out. Was I supposed to be drawing a card?
Yeah,
I did. I drew number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
I got the Fool, first card of the tarot. I don't know why that feels familiar, maybe for Jeff or somebody else last week. New beginnings, start points, initiating projects. And by the way, I saw your videos today. It's so fun. Every Wednesday he does a joke one, so it's pretty funny. I'm not going to tell you what it was because you have to go look and see Blind Outdoors.
You got to go find it.
Yeah, that's right. Positive consciousness and the Fool. I appreciate what you're putting into your work now, Jeff, because it shows the confidence level that is growing in you. And, you know, this is just an affirmation that you're on the right path and you might be initiating some new things that also add to your repertoire. And I think that's a great thing. So just keep going, you know, keep doing you. And it's exciting, actually, to watch and very educational for those who don't know. He did a video the other day of mowing his back lawn. He didn't know his son was visiting and taking a video of the whole thing. So, and he knows his yard by, you know, how many feet, how wide. It's just amazing what he does. So we have Wendy up next, our card keeper.
We do, and I was muted again. Twice in one night, that's rare. You guys are lucky. All right, Wendy, our card keeper, and got to throw a shout out to Wendy. She said that she is very happy to be in this reality with us. And I can say likewise.
Yeah.
I love you guys. So in honor of our wonderful relationship as a community and group, I have for you number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are, not for what they believe. That means don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end that relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to a relationship of one thing to another.
And I got the Six of Diamonds, Six of Pentacles. Finances improving. Money improving, perhaps building relationships with people in a work capacity, and expanding that. And I do see you with two or three things going on at once, Wendy, and things are going to start to bring money in. So you're going to start feeling a lot more secure and comfortable with things. So I hope that, excuse me, makes sense to you. I got the hiccups, Michael. I can't believe that.
That's just karma. That's just karma because, you know, Wendy's saying that we skipped Audra. That implies that we did it by accident. No, we chose not to pill a card for Audra, and she knows why. No, actually, this is fun that it kind of slipped into a long-running gag. I don't know why I like to tease people. Maybe a psychologist.
I did not see. That's another negative hallucination on my part because I didn't see it. So, what have you got for Audra?
Audra, well, now you're getting number 17. Let me grab that guidebook again. So you're getting number 17, which is reinvention. I don't ask me why this just connects. This might be more important for you. Reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, I like that, especially that you get the two of clubs. So the two of wands is, I think of looking into the future, you know, balanced approach, reinvention. Like, how do you see your future, Audra? Like, what are the steps now? Because this isn't the be-all, end-all. It's like, where do you see yourself in 2 years? Where do you see yourself in 3 years? So it's like you're starting to not just think on the now and surviving and getting through a day, getting through a week, but you're starting to look ahead and making a plan for yourself. So I think that's a really great kind of message to you that the universe is saying, okay, tap, tap, where do you want to go from here? So that's great.
All right.
We have Kevin.
Yep.
But before we do that, can I read what Jeff just wrote?
Oh, of course.
He said, last week you stumbled across an opportunity to do some beta reading. Basically, I read a manuscript where the main character has the same eye disease that I have, and the author wanted me to review it for authenticity and accuracy. It was a fun project, and I've never done that before. Yeah. Whoa, good for you, Jeff. That's going into new territory. That's awesome.
I love it. All right. Thank you very much for sharing that. I hadn't seen that yet, and that's a lovely story. I can't wait to hear about how it goes, too. But Dr. Kevin, for you, I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Share the best of yourself that is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
You know, when you have the Knight of Cups, so basically the Jack of Hearts, it's a youthfulness, giving of oneself. It's like from the heart. But I want to say, gee, where I'm going with this, Kevin, is like associating a little more with young people and being able to relate to young people, share your story, other people influencing you as well. I like it in that what I really want to go with is when the pages usually do this, but in this case, it's the communication. And I think you're going to be doing more of that. It's like your energy building up and feeling pretty good about yourself and reclaiming something useful. I know you're in your mature years. I get that. But in our minds, we're young. So I think in health recovery, going forward, there's a revitalized kind of energy going on here. I love that. So did we have anybody else tonight, Michael? See, third time he's muted.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You think you're psychic just because you were right that time. But did we catch Audra's comment here? I'm being attacked by a vicious cat who is, as I said, evil. He's very cute, but he's evil. She said tonight's cards are very in alignment with what she's working to manifest. She's hoping it's going to keep flowing, and you know, she's thankful. But hey, I appreciate you sharing that, and you know, we're right there with you. We hope it keeps flowing, and we hope that that thing you're working towards is going to manifest. And I think it will, because you have the talent, you have the drive, and it's that persistence and drive that makes it happen, right? You keep at it, and you adapt. So I'm glad that that connected. Oh,
you know,
and
one thing...
we have another one, too.
Do we?
She was... No, I'm not Card. She had added in here. She had gotten an issue with an employee calling out another repair tech showing up, and just a lot of, you know, she's reaching out to employees trying to cover shifts as we speak. So she was skipped because she was actually on a call, so that worked out well. But I tell you, it has been a great discussion, and you know, I'm gonna turn it over to you, Dr. Vicky, for some last thoughts on this one.
No, you know, everybody, do a little checking and reading up on CERN yourselves, mm-hmm. and you know, come to your own conclusions. Everything we talk about, other than the science stuff, is speculation. It's correlation, assumption, presumption. It's like, just interesting kinds of, you know, the things that make you go,
Right.
And it's, I think I've said this to you before. I, being a borderline dyslexic, everything had to go by absolute memory.
Yeah.
I visualize, I imagine a chalkboard in my mind, I write it out, and I remember it better. I have an amazing memory for conversations and for essence of energy. But when it comes to written words and so on, I have to really be careful. So a lot of things that were drilled in my mind as a kid, and then to later say, people say, well, that didn't happen. There's a moment where you say, think you're losing your mind. And, well, wait a minute, Jif or Jiffy. You know, monocle or no monocle. Something could be silly. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. But it's...
Laughing because I can't possibly remember what the right one is anyway. So I
have because of how my brain works.
Right.
And I had to, you know, learn how I learn and how I retain information. That's just an important thing to me. You know, I was raised in the Christian church, Bible camps. You know, I knew Bible quotes, and then they say, oh, that's not the way it's written now. I say, what? You know, and it's like, so I'm just saying that you have to judge for yourself. And I think as time unfolds, more information, you know, will be revealed. And I don't know, are we living in a matrix? You know, is that possible? I don't know. I don't know that it matters, except that we're all living the best life we know how to do under the circumstances and dealing with, you know, whatever we have to deal with. But so it's good for us to have these conversations to bring things to light, to kind of say, are you observing this? What I'm observing is repeating numbers on my clocks, like 4 or 5 times a day. And I say, okay, guys. You know, it's just all these things. Could that be, you know, the mind and psychology and finding other reasons for it? Sure. But when I don't know how my mind would know to tune into 333 or 1111 or 444. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how that works. And so there's the next thing I would like to talk about, perhaps we have a special guest next week, but maybe we can talk about MK Ultra, in the week after. MK Ultra was, that mind control telekinesis, teleporting kind of experimentation the government was doing right from the Second World War on. And, you know, there is speculation now being talked about that those who assassinated a whole bunch of very popular political figures, etc., were in fact, you know, subjects of the MK Ultra experiment. So kind of like I'd like to talk about that.
Manchurian style candidate, kind of, you know, brainwashed kind of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so it's going to be, well, let's hold on. So next week we have, and well, let me reference that topic too, because we do have a guest, Dr. Oliver Williams, next week. He is going to be talking about a topic, which I think dovetails quite nicely with tonight, create your manifested reality. So that's going to be a good discussion. So we're looking forward to having Dr. Oliver Williams with us again. We've had him on before, and we're very excited for another good conversation. And then we're going to have another esteemed guest that we haven't seen for a while, Dr. Douglas Kelly, I think is how you pronounce that. And he'll be joining us there the Wednesday after. So I think we're going to be doing MKUltra 3 weeks
after.
From today.
Good.
So we have a lineup. You know, it used to be like, hey, what are we going to talk about? Now we have things planned weeks in advance. We're professional.
Good.
We're professional. But, no, I'm, and also I'll say, you know, I was chuckling because we're talking about different human beings having different perspectives, and I'm listening to your perspective, and it's wholly different from mine, which is always why it's interesting to listen to it. I'm always reminded of the fact that if you think that you know the truth already, if reality, you know, comes across, you're not going to recognize it, right? So that's why it's important to keep an open mind to possibilities and to what may be true. And this is why I do try to think about that. And, you know, I'm kind of, and here's another thing. I've always been worried about my own inherent bias. So if there's something that I find interesting or want to be true, I have a knee-jerk reaction to be very skeptical of it because I don't trust my own, you know, if I get into something, I don't like, I know how humans are. I know how people are. I've observed it. I've looked at people and, you know, said, okay, they think this, but I think we can all do that. We all know in life where you can say the person thinks that we have a blue sun, right? The problem with all these analogies using sky color is because of our atmosphere, the sky is every color and the sun can be every color too. But I'm just ranting at this point only to say that, keep questioning every day. Look for answers. Keep seeking knowledge. Keep expanding your mind to what's possible. And stay curious. So that's my spiel. And as, you know, we started our kind of outro, I want to, again, thank everybody. Dr. Vicky, I always want to thank you for challenging me as well. Because I remember the first time you told me that it takes time for the thing to shut down. I'm like, how much time can it take? It's just electricity. But then, you know, I'm like, wow, it really does. And then you think, yeah, I guess it makes sense. If you have these massive weighted magnets stop all of a sudden, it's going to go, you know, hurtling through things. But but no, I appreciate that, and I always enjoy our discussions.
Well, thank you to you, Michael, and to everybody, all of our listeners and the students of the school. And, you know, don't let them push you around out there. No matter what you encounter, stay true to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, everybody. Can't wait to see you next week with our special guest. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.